Mass. Although the sacrifice of the Mass is always celebrated in honor of the Blessed Trinity, yet, for this day, the Church in her chants, prayers, and lessons honors in a more express manner the great mystery, which is the foundation of our Christian faith. A commemoration is, however, made of the first Sunday after Pentecost, in order not to interrupt the arrangement of the liturgy. The color used by the Church on this Feast of Trinity is white, as a sign of joy, as also to express the simplicity and purity of the divine essence. The introit is not taken from Holy Scripture. It is a formula of glorification in keeping with the feast, and speaks of the Blessed Trinity as the divine source of the mercies bestowed on mankind. Introit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and undivided unity. We will praise it because it hath shown its mercy unto us. O Lord, our Lord, how wonderful is thy name in the whole earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church asks for us firmness in the faith, whereby we confess unity and Trinity in God. Faith is the first condition required for salvation. It is the first link of our union with God. It is with this faith that we shall conquer our enemies and overcome all obstacles. Collect. O Almighty and everlasting God, who hast granted thy servants in the confession of the true faith to acknowledge the glory of an eternal Trinity, and in the power of majesty to adore a unity, we beseech thee that by the strength of this faith we may be defended from all adversity. Commemoration of the first Sunday after Pentecost. O God, the strength of such as hope in thee, mercifully hear us calling on thee, and since mortal weakness can do nothing without thee, grant us the assistance of thy grace, that in observing thy commandments we may please thee both in will and action. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, Chapter 11. O the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. We cannot fix our thoughts upon the divine judgments and ways without feeling a sort of bewilderment. The eternal and the infinite dazzle our weak reason. And yet, this same reason of ours acknowledges and confesses them. Now, if even the ways of God with his creatures surpass our understanding, how can we pretend to discover of ourselves the inmost nature of this sovereign being? And yet, in this uncreated essence, we do distinguish the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost from each other, and we glorify them. This comes from the Father's having revealed himself by sending us his Son, the object of his eternal delight. It comes from the Son's showing us his own personality by taking our flesh, which the Father and the Holy Ghost did not. It comes from the Holy Ghost's being sent by the Father and the Son, and fulfilling the mission he received from them. Our mortal eye respectfully gazes upon these divine depths of truth, and our heart is touched at the thought that it is through God's benefits to us that he has given us to know him, and that our knowledge of what he is came through what he gave us. Let us lovingly prize this faith, and confidently wait for that happy moment when it will make way for the eternal vision of that which we have believed here below. The gradual and Alleluia verse are full of joy and admiration at the presence of that sovereign majesty who has vouchsafed to send forth his rays into the darkness of our minds. Gradual. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who beholdest the deep and sittest on the cherubim. Blessed art thou, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven, and worthy of praise forever. Alleluia, Alleluia. Blessed art thou, O Lord, the God of our fathers, and worthy of praise forever. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." The mystery of the Blessed Trinity, which was taught us by the mission of the Son of God into this world, and by the promise of the speedy sending of the Holy Spirit, is announced to men by these solemn words uttered by Jesus just before his ascension into heaven. He had said, quote, "He that shall believe and shall be baptized shall be saved," end quote, footnote, St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 16. But he adds that baptism is to be given in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Henceforward, man must not only confess the unity of God, by abjuring a plurality of gods, but he must also adore a trinity of persons in unity of essence. The great secret of heaven is now published through the whole world. But, whilst humbly confessing the God whom we have been taught to know as he is in himself, we must likewise pay a tribute of eternal gratitude to the ever-glorious Trinity. Not only has it vouchsafed to impress its divine image on our soul by making her to its own likeness, but in the supernatural order, it has taken possession of our being and raised it to an incalculable pitch of greatness. The Father has adopted us in his Son, become incarnate. The Word illumines our minds with his light. The Holy Ghost has chosen us for his dwelling. And this it is that is expressed by the form of holy baptism. By those words pronounced over us, together with the pouring out of the water, the whole Trinity took possession of its creature. We call this sublime marvel to mind as often as we invoke the three divine persons, making upon ourselves, at the same time, the sign of the cross. When our mortal remains are carried into the house of God, there to receive the last blessings and farewell of the Church on earth, the priest will beseech the Lord not to enter into judgment with his servant, and, in order to draw down the divine mercy upon this Christian who has gone to his eternity, he will say to the sovereign judge that this member of the human family was marked, whilst in this life, with the sign of the Holy Trinity. Let us respect this divine impress which we bear upon us. It is to be eternal. Hell itself will not be able to blot it out. Let it, then, be our hope, our dearest title, and let us live for the glory of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the offertory, the Church begins the immediate preparation for the sacrifice by invoking on the oblation the name of the three persons, and again proclaiming the mercy of God. Offertory. Blessed be God the Father, and the only begotten Son of God, likewise the Holy Ghost, for he hath shown his mercy unto us. In the secret, Holy Church asks that the homage we are making in this sacrifice of ourselves to the Sacred Trinity may be presented to it not today only, but may become eternal by our being admitted into heaven, where we shall contemplate, and without a veil, the glorious mystery of God, one in three persons. Secret. Sanctify, we beseech thee, O Lord our God, by the invocation of thy holy name, the victim of this oblation, and by it make us an eternal offering to thee. Commemoration of the first Sunday after Pentecost. Mercifully receive, we beseech thee, O Lord, the sacrifice we offer thee, and grant that it may be a continual help to us. Then follows the preface. It is proper for this feast, and for all Sundays throughout the year, which have no other assigned to them. Preface. It is truly meet and just, right and available to salvation, that we should always and in all places give thanks to thee, O holy Lord, Father Almighty, eternal God, who together with thy only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God and one Lord, not in the singularity of one person, but in the Trinity of one substance, for what we believe of thy glory, as thou hast revealed, the same we believe of thy Son and of the Holy Ghost, without any difference or distinction, so that in the confession of the true and eternal Deity, we adore a distinction in the persons, a unity in the essence, and an equality in the majesty, whom the angels and archangels, the cherubim also and seraphim, praise, and cease not daily to cry out with one voice, saying, Holy, holy, holy. In the communion anthem, the Church continues her praise of the mercy of the great God, who has made use of his own blessings upon us, in order to enlighten and instruct us regarding his incomprehensible nature. Communion. We bless the God of heaven, and we will praise him in the sight of all the living, because he hath shown us his mercy. Two things are needed for our reaching God: the light of faith, which gives our understanding to know him, and the divine food, which unites us to him. In the post-communion, Holy Church prays that we may have both, and be thus brought to that union, which is the happy end of our creation. Post-communion. May the receiving of this sacrament, O Lord our God, avail us to the salvation of body and soul, together with the confession of an everlasting Holy Trinity and of the undivided unity thereof. Commemoration of the first Sunday after Pentecost. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that the great sacrifice we have partaken of may avail us unto salvation, and make us never cease praising thee. The last gospel is that of the first Sunday after Pentecost. It is read by the priest instead of that of St. John. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, Be ye merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, and pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you shall meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spoke also to them a similitude. Can the blind lead the blind? Do they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone shall be perfect, if he be as his master. And why seest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but the beam that is in thy own eye thou considerest not? Or how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull the mote out of thy eye, when thou thyself seest not the beam in thy own eye? Hypocrite, cast first the beam out of thine own eye, And then thou shalt see clearly to take out the mote from thy brother's eye. Thanks be to God.